the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious and bestow of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Shall we look at this morning?
I just want to say thanks for practice. Mm-hmm. I have this experience this morning of having some nice interchanges, and what I was getting was how important it is to put stuff out there, mm-hmm. because. If I'm snagged on something, I can't see it. Mm-hmm. But if I put it out there, then the rest of whole mind has a chance to look at it, yeah. and point to where I'm snagged. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's such a message from conditioning to figure it out yourself.
Right.
And that's a good, responsible, private thing to do. It's such a great lesson in not being personal, not colluding with conditioning by protecting it, and freeing the being by letting whole mind provide guidance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So not staying, you said, private with it, kind of back there, I'm going to figure it out, which of course I'm going to figure it out in reality is I'm not going to look at this. Right? Because that I'm going to figure it out is actually, it's always going for the opposite of what it actually says it's going for. So what it wants to do is keep the human in whatever, confusion or, mm-hmm. Trapped or stuck or that sort of thing. So that movement, that willingness to put it out, in a sense, that is right there. That's the critical movement. Everything after that is just supporting that already made movement of disidentification from it.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Because within conditioning, the belief is that the way to figure it out is to figure it out.
Right. I mean,
exactly. The way to go after it is to go after it.
Right.
Spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
Give it a lot of thought and a lot of, and which is very different than giving it attention.
Very different. It's funny. I was just recording about that very thing this morning of that critical place of just relaxing into the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That in awareness, everything is revealed in its time. But in that, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to figure this out. Is exactly that. No I can figure it out, and in fact doesn't want to.
Right.
And in fact that I'm going to figure it out is the very movement to obstruct the view that awareness provides.
Yeah, and so putting it out there, I realize is one of those acts of freedom.
Yeah.
Years ago, when there was a board for for Living Compassion. I remember we had to write something, and mm-hmm. I remember I wrote a draft or something, mm-hmm. And I remember I turned it in, mm-hmm. and we were going over it, and I had this experience of, I don't think this draft is particularly good, but I don't have to worry about that because it's our draft now, and it's exactly. the same thing. It's like release exactly. it, and yeah, releasing it. That's how it's going to. Whatever wisdom there is about it is going to come back.
And you know what's fun about that? I remember those sorts of situations, and what we used to always say is, who will be the person who puts that first movement so then we can all tear it apart? In that sense of, you have to have a starting place. Mm-hmm. And that starting place is usually not going to be where, in this case, the writing thing ends up. But that the starting place is so critical. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what happens a lot in recording. Mm-hmm. Where there's that initial movement of turning on the recorder in complete acceptance of where whatever's going on right now, mm-hmm. and being willing to do that is the thing that begins the movement to see what's actually going on. So it's not that that first writing was wrong or
right.
bad.
I don't know.
It's just the first movement of what's evolving.
Yeah, and you know, so I'm having the experience right now of why it's so helpful to do this, because what you're saying brings me back to. At the New Year's retreat, we had to come up with a sort of intention for the year, mm-hmm. or a place that would be a cutting edge for us. Uh-huh. And I said mine was exposure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And which means, you know, exactly that process of putting it out there. And
yeah.
But from an ego place, that feels like exposure.
Yeah.
Feels threatening and dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from a heart place, it feels like a huge relaxation and relief.
Yeah. So true. So true. And that. What it points us to is that place of, you know, gonna hide, gonna whatever it is for each of us, is you said this a few minutes ago, is such a place of protecting ego.
Mm-hmm.
But from that place of wanting freedom, then we want to expose everything.
Yeah.
Because then what we get to see is we get help with, you know, what's the heart and what's ego and what's, you know, not assisting the being and what is supportive of the being. And that's, of course, what we all want.
Yeah.
And that if we find out, oh, that actually wasn't supporting the human, that's really good news.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not, we just want to find that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Good.
Having this awesome experience this morning that some, I mean, a lot of times in practice there can be just kind of showing up, mm-hmm. the willingness,
yeah.
you know, maybe
which is key.
Oh yeah, it's key. That really is some warrior energy. It's great.
Yeah.
You know, like every once in a while, well actually sometimes often there'll be this like resistance.
Yep.
Oh, I don't want to, you know.
Yep.
Lately I've been waking up with just a tinge of that.
Uh-huh.
And before the next thought can happen, before anything else, the mentor is just right there and says, mm-hmm. great, we get to practice with resistance, you know,
yeah.
like this is grinding it away, you know,
yeah.
and it's just like, ooh, I love that,
yeah.
that willingness.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful to experience that, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that can happen often. And then also every once in a while, like just now, just hearing that last conversation, there can be these moments of just deep, deep connection,
mm-hmm.
like a deep yes mm-hmm. to this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing that conversation from this place of yes,
mm-hmm.
and I had this experience of waves of like this tingling energy rushing up from the base of the spine, like mm-hmm. out through the top of the head, and mm-hmm. tears and mm-hmm. goosebumps,
mm-hmm.
just like a complete letting go into yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
It's
what a gift to have that experience.
Yeah.
And what I hear in that is that there's a way in which all of those places that you're describing are held in awareness, and none of it's personal.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's the magic part right there, is that none of it's personal.
Yeah.
I was just playing with that a little bit and just so enjoying that experience. Nothing is personal. Just got off the facilitator practice mm-hmm. morning call, mm-hmm. my first one ever, and you know, just seeing the it's great, you know, it's that garden variety conditioning. It's uh-huh. this boring old, you know, same uh-huh. old thing that I've known for my whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all, you know, so familiar with it.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, you got you got to do a really good job, and like, what if you mess up? And geez, and but you got to be the best. Yeah. But like, you know, and the kind of conditioned response, like getting off of one of those calls, would be to either go to like, oh my gosh, wow, you really blew it there. Like, you must be the most conditioned, egocentric human being on earth. Or it'll go to, wow, boy, you just blew it out of the water, boy, you're the best. Yep. Nobody could ever be as good. You know, it's like, wants to go there. Either one.
Duality with a capital D.
Totally. Whatever, you know, so boring. And I had the experience of, I showed up for the call, just to the best of my ability, I got out of the way. And I just let life happen. And there wasn't a somebody doing it. I mean, moments.
Sure.
But, you know, there wasn't a somebody. I hung up the phone. I went out and sat. And then you know, there were little tricks. The conversation was trying to get in there, but there wasn't a somebody sitting. It was just life happened. Then went over here, and then life happened. And I had that. It was just so great to have an experience of what we hear so often, you know, that like we hear in practice that it's good not to be a somebody. You know, it's good to be not to be a somebody. And then the voices take that and say like, you know, that stinks.
Like, nothing good, I never get to be a somebody.
Right, because in that, I mean, the belief is that if I'm not a somebody, then I can't enjoy my experience. But what I got to feel and have experientially a taste of, it was so delightful, was that being, not being a somebody, is everything I've ever wanted. It's like to just show up and to be adequate and to let life move through me and not to have to figure anything out, not to have to try, just enjoy, participate, and then when that's done, no rehashing, no reviewing, just go right to the next thing and just be there for that. And it's like, well, that's the experience I've ever, always ever wanted. And I don't have to be a somebody to enjoy it. It's like, just because I'm not a somebody doesn't mean that experience isn't happening. It's like I'm receiving all that joy.
Exactly, receiving. That's the word that keeps coming up to me as you're speaking.
Yeah,
because, you know, what we think is that thing that you said, that, well, in order to have any experience, I have to be there for it. I have to be there for it. I have to be a somebody to have it. But in fact, I mean, it's a subtle point until we see it, and then it's really not subtle at all. But the thing that allows us to truly receive in that extraordinary, deep, hugely abundant way is not being an I. Is when we're just truly life, and then we're receiving every moment, every moment, every moment.
Just getting out of the way. I was talking about it on the call a little bit, that there's, I mean, the bottom, the foundation of everything is authenticity. It's like goodness and adequacy, and everything's perfect as it is. And then conditioning takes, like, that really is the beginning and the end of everything. And then conditioning wants to take it and say, like, make the foundation inadequacy and not good enough. And now I'm going to have to artificially try to create an experience of authenticity or something. And it's just like, and really all that has to happen is like, you know, just stop trying all that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that example you started with is such a great one of waking up in the morning and there's that tiny little thing, which I project is just conditioning trying to get its little hook in. But that from what you described, what happens is there's that one step back, and that's in awareness as well. That's accepted as part of the moment. So it's not that we now try not to be somebody who's gonna, but that all those little hooks that conditioning tries to get in, you described it after the call too, you know, it's trying to do its thing, but that's part of it too. That just, that's perfectly all right. That's just part of what's going on in the moment, and I'm not identified with that either. That it's this huge space of freedom where anything can happen. Anything on the content level of the, you know, what goes on in our lives, anything that's going on in the mind, any emotion, any physical sensation, it all can be part of that, you know, that joy, that expression of just being here in the moment that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's so, well said. And what I saw as you were saying that was that it's such a moment by moment practice.
It's such a moment by moment, yeah.
And that it's such, it's really a subtle thing. It's like, it's really, it's not a trying. It's just, it's really just gentle, patient, subtle, stepping back, moment by moment.
Yeah, that's my experience of it too, that back a little bit what we were talking about with Penny, that just that exquisite skill of allowing awareness to kind of be that which wears it all away.
Yeah.
You know, so then, you know, we're going along and we get tripped up in some way. Either like you were talking about those two sides of the duality, maybe we get talked into, oh, I can't believe you were the worst one. Or you get talked into, wow, you know, that was great. I was so, you know. But if we just allow awareness to see that, it's being worn away in that. So we don't have to try not to indulge the self-hatred or try not to, you know, think I'm so great. Mm-hmm. But if all of that's held in awareness, every time that happens, every time, you know, whatever's going on goes on, in awareness, in that conscious compassionate awareness, it's being worn away.
It's really good news, because that's really doable.
Exactly. It is. I mean, that's what we talk about. It really is incredibly simple.
Yeah,
it's just that ego is constantly talking to me. It can't be that simple, is one thing. And then the other is, but then what am I going to get?
Yeah.
What am I going to get? And if we can just for little tiny seconds at a time experience what you're talking about, we experience, the answer is everything. Oh my God!
The life I've always
life I've always dreamed of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rebecca.
So I'm looking at a workshop that I'm in around. There are a couple of things in my life that I'm invited to share about with others. And so that whole process of sharing with others.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that is not about the content of what's being shared, but is about the process that one goes to from which to share. It's not even the process of sharing, per se.
Yeah.
It's the process of going to a place from which sharing can happen.
Yeah, that's very subtle, but really key, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really is the difference between a couple of things that were talked about today. Of that I doing it and it just being done.
Yep.
And also the difference between that's my draft and then no, that's just the draft.
Yeah, sure, I'll be the drafter.
And then wherever it goes and whatever whole line does with it, whatever this person who I'm sharing with does with it, it's all fine.
Yeah, it's like we talked about, it's our draft, or you could even say it's life's draft.
Yes. Yeah, life's draft.
We just need a human to move the pencil around.
Exactly. Yes, and sometimes, and so the particular workshop that happens in this person around being that pencil is that sometimes, well, let me just say this, like right now, what seems to be being asked for is more particulars about that human.
Mm.
Like, you know, well, why are you doing this? Or what does this mean for you? Or, you know, things like that that feel particular to the human.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that gets into real red flag land for something. So what I'm looking at is, it feels like on one hand, well, that's just an identity who then wants to talk about her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And yet it's being asked for.
And when you say being asked for, can you say more about that? Like it feels like as you're going through this process of sharing, that's the kind of thing that's coming back to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like a question like, well, why are you doing this? And what is it in particular?
And even sort of guidance that's part of the process.
To connect with what in particular for this being is inspirational or is
Bad. See, even you saying that makes me wince. Like, what in particular for this being is inspirational? It's like, what in particular?
And do you have a sense of where
I just hate from? That. That's so interesting that made that reaction in me. Do I have a sense of where that
I hope you won't lose it, but I just feel like what you just said is exactly what what Lakota was pointing at, what we're talking about, which is that it's such an exquisite thing when we really do that. We will use everything in our experience to sit right, because you just did it.
Uh-huh.
You felt that eye project. You felt that wince. And what we're supposed to go to is like, I hate that. Why? But instead, you go to, wow, okay. Yeah. So what about that?
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah. It is that sort of green light. Go for mm-hmm. that. Go there. Mm-hmm. And yes. So what that is I just saw as you were saying that is there's this spiritual identity. Mm. That here's the language of this spiritual identity. I just want to melt in with all, with whole mind.
Mm.
I don't want to be a me. I want to.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me want to throw up. We're
touching the subtle territory this morning. But yeah, it is, because you can just feel it, can't you? Like. Yeah.
Pseudo. It's like pseudo that sounds real in the mind, but then when I say it out, it's like, oh my God.
Because in it, you know, it sounds like from what you're describing, there's this sense sort of that I just want to be part of the whole can be like, if we were to read the subtitles, right? Don't look here. Danger.
Exactly. Don't look at her.
Yeah.
That's what it, it's really just a big old fat way of hiding.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good to see. And I would have never seen that had I not put it out.
Yeah.
You know, like we just talked about. It's like, we just have to, you know, and it's bringing up one other thing that came in this morning that I'm now seeing as a part of the whole conditioned scam. Because this has been... sort of on my plate, mm-hmm. you know, to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sunday, right? It's a day of leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this belief that I suck at leisure and that I have to, and that I need to be...
Funny, but can everyone in the room... Unstructured.
I know. Like, what leisure? What do I have to play something or what do I do? And so... There was this real intention to really, and you know, we've also recently been challenged to look at the schedule, really keep to the schedule. Mm-hmm. When it's leisure, be it, you know, do it daily.
Yeah.
And so what I'm seeing though is that looking at all this mm-hmm. gets labeled as, well, no, that's not leisure, that's work. So you can't look at it today. you can't let your book look at that, you know, Monday from 10 to noon, 12:30
right.
And what I was seeing this morning as I was recording about my intentions around a day of leisure is to not have any demands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was just a demand. Like, okay, don't look at this today. You're going to look at it, And rather letting go of any identity that has any idea about mm-hmm. what it means to be a day of leisure mm-hmm. and just go with the flow mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. day.
Yep.
Like what Lakota was just saying, okay, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to go to whatever's next. And yep. and if what's next is, I'm going to look at what this being in particular wants to share about this, then that's what is next.
Yeah.
And it's the process around it that makes it leisure or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, does that sound...
Yeah, well, let me see if I'm tracking. So, looking at, so you have a day where there's less structure mm-hmm. than there usually is,
mm-hmm.
and having gotten the encouragement to really stick to the schedule,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, not essentially let ego decide, okay, I'm going to do this with this time and be this way, that way, and da-da-da-da-da, but so when there's a time of, quote, leisure, which is less structured time, to really allow yourself the space to have that, and that in that what you were seeing was there was this subtle version of kind of an artificial intellectual idea of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you got to was, well, maybe leisure is just the space to allow life to drop in, you know, how the day might be used. So there's less, okay, you know, most of the days of monastic practice, it's very particular mm-hmm. what you're doing at each time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the practice in this day is more of a stepping back and just letting life inform.
Uh-huh. That's very helpful because it's the process, not the content.
Right.
It's the process, mm-hmm. not the content.
Yeah.
So I could be, you know, cleaning or anything, mm-hmm. content-wise, mm-hmm. and in the process
yeah.
of leisure or whatever we yeah. want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because that's another one that I was recording about this morning, just watching that process of waking up and celebrating it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love the routines that I have every day. Mm-hmm. Really, really love those routines. I'm waking up at a certain time and, you know, getting to do this with the body and then that and then, you know, all those things. And watching how there's an invitation on this day. Well, first watching the process of, oh God, I better stick to the routines. Mm-hmm. Like something bad's going to happen.
Or else I'm going to, God only knows what I'm going to do.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I won't feel the way I want to feel. Uh-huh. And I won't, you know, and just realizing, you know, 6 days a week of this particular activity with the body is probably more than enough.
Uh-huh.
What about on Sunday if we didn't do that?
Oh my God, that's so interesting. I was just looking at that exact same kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know.
And then what else arises in that space? Like, I got to spend a bunch of time just on the floor with Sadie this morning.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't usually happen.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't usually. So just watching the things that life drops in
yeah.
and just enjoying that process.
Yes.
You know, that's what I project a day with less particular schedule invites us into.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Well, and the biggest thing invites us into, which everything invites us into, is to see our entire lives in the process.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Our entire lives mm-hmm. in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, what is that like? Oh God, if I don't follow the schedule, what's gonna happen?
Uh-huh.
You know, and seeing that everywhere across the board in one's life.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's so complete and so good.
Yeah, and you know, the one other thing, Rebecca, that dropped in about that is that to me, there's a way in which, so we're in our weekday schedule, let's say, and each person has their responsibilities, and the attention can be very focused, and when we're working in the kitchen, the attention's really in the kitchen, and da-da-da. And that there's a way in which when the schedule opens up in that way, there can be the space for some larger awarenesses mm-hmm. that maybe don't necessarily drop in that other focused way.
Mm-hmm.
And so not necessarily setting out to, okay, this is the day that I'm going to figure out how I'm going to share, but just realizing that in taking a walk, in having more space, mm-hmm. there just may be more space in the awareness for those things to drop in.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's beautiful.
I heard Sherry, it came through in one of my recordings recently where she was talking in some form, maybe on a radio show, of seeing that, say, when she's in an email class, I think it was in one of her blogs a while back, when she's in an email class, entire, you know, big picture blogs tend not to drop in because her attention is on an email class. Then the email class ends and there's that larger awareness for those bigger awarenesses to drop in.
Yeah. That's my experience. That actually, this is one last thing, but that is where I was, you know, I've been sitting just a little bit more recently, and whole things
yeah.
just kind of are there
yeah.
that, you're right, exactly, that just don't have the space when mm-hmm. I'm, you know, focused on, well, now mm-hmm. I need to make this soup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
yeah.
just no, there's just, yeah. that's what's being called for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just love that process for myself. To me, that's one of those places of being willing for whatever life needs from the human.
Yes.
You know, if what life needs is to make the soup, soup.
Yeah.
I am soup.
Uh-huh. All about the soup. Yeah. Yeah.
And just watching that, beginning to trust that process.
Yes.
You know, I noticed that for myself in our rhythms throughout the season, you know,
yeah.
and all the attention's focused here, and then, you know, get on the airplane for a stretch of time, and there's nothing, quote, to do, and all these other things start dropping
uh-huh.
in. You know, just grab the pencil and jot down notes about that, and
yeah.
just seeing how the attention is engaged where the attention needs to be engaged, and that conditioning overlays all kinds of things, like, well, you're not getting to this, and you're not getting this done, and you need to be thinking about this, and it's like, well, no, my attention's here right
yeah.
now. And if that other thing needs to be attended to, then that will drop in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah, this is all timely. And I've been looking at urgency.
Mm.
And seeing it as a process.
Mm-hmm.
and that I think has been attached more with the content, you know,
uh-huh.
And seeing how attaching it to content has allowed me to, I mean, seeing where it shows up in
yeah.
the content
yeah.
has allowed me to see a lot of things about it that
I
haven't been, and you know, I don't have a life that you would look at from the outside and see any reason for urgency, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many people more busy than me, you know, and you could see it very clearly, but urgency has definitely been a process
mm-hmm.
that I actually feel has become part of my nervous system.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, isn't that so true?
Yeah.
When you start to pay attention on that minute
yeah.
level, you can realize it has a physiological impact.
Physiological, wow.
Yeah.
And it's like the sense is that the body is just revved up,
yeah.
and like there's some kind of energy just pushing from
yeah.
behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not fun.
No.
It's really not. It is a form
yeah.
of suffering that looks like.
Yeah.
And I finally got a clue today, on a phone call, somebody helped me identify the word that seems to trigger it in the content.
Mm-hmm.
So when there is something that seems like it needs to be accomplished.
Uh-huh. That's the word?
That's the word.
Uh-huh.
That's the word. Because
yeah.
I've watched the oscillation through my life.
Mm-hmm.
I work at jobs until I just get to the point where I can't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a time of space where
mm-hmm.
you know, I get on unemployment or I
mm-hmm.
have saved some money
mm-hmm.
and I don't have to worry and I just do things that I want to do.
Uh-huh.
And then there's space opens up for this being to, and it happened recently, and I was more aware to just watch how it is,
mm-hmm.
where there's an opportunity instead of just going here, there, you know, because it's all programmed, you
mm-hmm.
know, the
mm-hmm.
times you have to be places and what you have to do mm-hmm. and what's due next and
mm-hmm.
so there's a kind of a space for the being to be part of life. And where
mm-hmm.
something comes up that the being is interested in, she just kind of goes with it.
Uh-huh.
And gets to be interested in things.
Yeah.
And gets to be connected with what
yeah.
she's doing. And
yeah.
and if she's moved to go out in the garden and
yeah.
and do the weeds or
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
you know, and there's this different life experience
yeah.
with that kind of thing, and it's not like there's anything to accomplish. The weeds need to be pulled.
Right.
It looks so nice when they're done,
right.
but there's not that pressure because nobody
yeah.
has told her to do it.
Right.
And it's not being done because company's coming tomorrow and
right.
you know, anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, oh, there's more, but right now I'm hitting the blank. But
well, it sounds like from what you're describing that the koan, kind of the question is, I know, so the sort of inquiry is, all right, so there's, conditioning sets it up as a duality. So when I have particular places in my life that I have to show up at a certain time, certain
mm-hmm.
place, you know,
mm-hmm.
quote, responsibilities, that things need to be accomplished,
mm-hmm.
then that sets up kind of this urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like not a space for the being to just be in life and to just respond to, right?
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. And I'm seeing that for what it is,
mm-hmm.
totally conditioning and totally a big bruise because,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a requirement.
Right.
That's a conditioned belief
yeah.
or a...
Yeah.
Something that has been programmed, you know, that the person that there's a connection between the physiological, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I can reprogram that if I'm going to
yeah.
a place of just being present.
Yes.
You know, like when I feel busy, quote unquote, I'll get a phone call from a friend,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, you know, I'm glad to hear from the person, but it's like.
Uh-huh.
I've got things to do here.
Uh-huh.
Let's get this taken care of, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like
yeah.
wrong, you know. It's
yeah.
just not, I'm not
yeah.
able to be the kind, caring
yeah.
person that I
yeah.
am
yeah.
when I'm not doing that process.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting what you're describing.
I am.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's so interesting because when we're identified with that urgency, we're not in awareness.
No.
Right? So we can't see anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just driven by the beliefs and assumptions mm-hmm. that are, that energy that you described is pushing us from behind,
mm-hmm.
revving up the whole system, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of in that place.
Mm-hmm.
But from that place of awareness that we've been describing all morning, what's so interesting in my experience that drops in is all these beliefs and assumptions
yeah.
that never get questioned, that suddenly are being questioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like simple things like, so the phone rings when I'm in the middle of completing my taxes. Well, I don't answer it.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I go ahead and complete the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get the voicemail of, oh, this dear friend who just
mm-hmm.
called.
Mm-hmm.
Now the taxes are done. I can call her back and have a nice conversation.
Exactly. Well, that, what a good point. Yeah.
You know? Just
yeah.
all these ways of, I mean, that's what I've seen for myself is, as it's all held in awareness, you realize, well, no wonder there's that feeling of urgency and feeling pushed.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's happening.
Uh-huh.
You know, sitting at the inbox and it's like, okay, one more email. Why?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
not close the computer and have plenty of time to get to meditation?
Uh-huh.
And,
right.
And as we make those decisions, those micro decisions, you know, they're tiny little decisions
that make a big difference.
A huge difference.
Right, right.
It's the difference between constantly being hurried and pushed.
Yeah.
And going through your life like, really? I have 3 more minutes till I need to be in the hall? Okay, well, I guess I'll sit down and have some water.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like life, it's the most bizarre thing, but life just, the time expands.
It does. And the other thing I was thinking about is that when I, my experience is, that when I am in centered or whatever word we would like to use for being in alignment mm-hmm. with life,
mm-hmm.
I can just coast through work like, I mean, I can get so much done and it doesn't even feel like I'm being pushed or
yeah.
in a hurry.
Yeah.
It's like it just flows.
Yeah.
And so why not just do life like that?
and
be efficient and productive
yeah.
and still enjoy your life.
Yeah.
What a
yeah.
notion.
Yeah. And it's the quote easiest thing or simplest thing in the world, but it's back to what we were talking about with Lakota. To me, what you're describing is it's the difference between life is living itself.
Uh-huh.
So there's no efforting in that. It's just happening, or I'm gonna do it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that never works.
Uh-huh. Well, I had an image, I was talking about it on the phone call this morning, and I had this image, because I used to surf when I was younger. And the whole analogy has really been helpful a lot of times mm-hmm. in practice,
mm-hmm.
but because it's like, when you're out there waiting on a wave, you know, you're waiting and you're looking around and, oh, I see, here comes the swell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of gear, you know,
mm-hmm.
how soon do I need to...
Yeah.
If I start paddling too soon, it's going to crash on me.
Yeah.
If I don't paddle soon enough, it's going to just rise up and go under, you know,
mm-hmm.
and bye-bye. but that moment when you're paddling, you know, and you start the right way,
mm-hmm.
and you... The moment you can feel the wave has you,
yeah.
you know, you're paddling
yeah.
and you're making, and then all of a sudden the wave has
yeah.
you and
yeah.
it's taking you. Oh God.
Yeah.
It's so exhilarating. And it's
yeah.
just like when we align with life,
yeah.
it's like you feel it. Life
yeah.
has you and
yeah.
the energy, you're flowing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is I've never been on a surfboard in my life. I mean, I've, you know, been in the ocean quite a bit, but it's what you're describing to me, we can all relate to. We know that sensation.
Yeah.
And we know the difference between, whoops, not soon enough, whoops, too early.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, whoa, there it is.
Yeah.
And the thing that's so fun is that whole thing can be fun. In the
uh-huh.
sense of not, yes, I did it right, I got the wave. But just that, you know, missed it too soon, too late, whatever.
You're learning it. Yeah.
You're learning it.
And you're getting a
and
sense of
all
it.
All of it is an adventure.
Yeah.
Celebrating the feeling, it, you know, loving that feeling. Oh, you know, not soon enough. Oh, too soon. All of it is part of it. And
uh-huh.
I mean, to me, that's what we're describing when we say there can be, we can live in joy in whatever's going on.
Right, right. And you can, the, everything is in it because, you know, there's this beliefs and things that are going on too. Like if I paddle too soon and it crashes on me
yeah.
and I'm tumbling around in that
Hate
wave,
that. Don't want that.
That is,
mm-hmm.
It could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm very scared of that. So
yep.
Yeah, and the other thing I saw about it is that the paddling is kind of like practice.
Yeah.
Because you can't just sit out there on the board and go, okay, wave, I'm ready.
Life will do it for me.
Yeah, because it just comes up under you and goes on, and you're left sitting there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so it's a good analogy, and I'm going to set up a, I'm not sure exactly how, but use the feeling, that physiological feeling.
Yeah.
I know it so well. Yeah. You know, it's just like, that, and the kind of sense of being pushed to be my triggers to just stop and slow down and breathe and, you know, look at the trees or go outside for a walk or something.
Yeah, because the reality is, you know, you said a minute ago, you're not as busy as, you know, other people. And yet, I mean, each of us is in the exact same situation, which is that we wake up in the morning, we do some things, and we go to bed at night.
Yeah.
You know, we're all always in some activity.
Right.
And the busy is only happening in the conversation. We're doing whatever we're doing. We are wherever we are in this moment.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So the practice is exactly the same for all of us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And there are only, I mean, since we divide time into this artificial thing that we can look at on the clock, everybody has that same structure they're working within, and there's only so many of those things on that circle that we get to do stuff with.
And we all lost one last night.
Yeah, we did. We lost one, so to speak. Yeah.
So funny.
This is the funniest party. Why is it so dark?
We'll be happy tonight, though.
Boy, there's been a lot of things this morning. One of which it's not what I really want to mostly talk about, but I'm just noticing that, you know, in my days and in my doing, in one sense, it's all leisure because I don't really have any one or thing to report to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I suppose most people would look at a life like mine and say, well, you're retired, you know, you can do anything you want, which is actually true, and yet there's no time in my week that is called leisure, so there's no perception of that. So even a day that's like doesn't have much planned activity in it is an opportunity to do all the things that I haven't had time to do. So,
which I bet most people would agree with, right? Because someone who has a life of going to a job and their leisure day
is
laundry, cook for the week,
that's
my leisure day.
That's right, exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's just an interesting idea that I never think of any block of time as I could do just what arises. You know, it's just an opportunity to do what hasn't been done.
Yeah, well, and it's just so interesting, isn't it? Because you were saying, you know, my day and my...
Yeah.
But if we take that step back, like we've been talking about this morning, and it's just all life living, then I suppose, in a way, that's true for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, it's so hard to really see it that way, but life is calling for, you know, getting in the car and driving to work.
Right.
You know, so that's my leisure time right now.
That's right.
Life is calling for taking the kids to soccer. And now life is calling for... Because, you know, I think we idealize, or we're certainly, I mean, advertising and everything bombards us with it. We idealize that I can do whatever I want whenever I want to do it.
Right.
You know, and yet... For most of us,
I would say who
it's
actually
like Rebecca was talking about. That turns into, you know, not fun at all.
Right, and it's mostly not true for anybody either.
Right,
you know, if you want to keep living and you know, pay for things and get, you know, your house doesn't fall down around you, you do have to do a few things. But what I was looking at when I came in this morning was a process of. We referred to something in the group, but so I've been really in a place lately of, you know, just open and not attached and willing and enjoying and going with life. And then I watch, and so then a trigger happens, and all of a sudden it's,
I'm scolded.
No, I won't. won't do it, you know? And it's just, so I'm just looking at how that process of how that happens, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And what I was appreciating in the previous conversation is looking at it as, so there's nothing, so that's not a problem either, you
right.
know? It's just, oh, wow, curious, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? So it's not, in that sense, it's no different from the being open and yeah. present times.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that this is what's happening now, and that's a different opportunity to
yep.
to see what's going on.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. Yeah, it's not, again, back to where we're looking at with Lakota, not taking any of it personally.
Right,
you
right.
know,
right.
oh good, I'm doing it well, now I'm open and feeling good, and this
right.
is what I like, and
that's
I,
right.
you know, versus, oh, now I'm, no, and right. I don't like that, and why is that happening, and that right. shouldn't be happening. And
right, yeah, yeah, because that happening isn't personal.
Exactly.
You know?
And not, so, it's not me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it feels like it is.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, oh, I just took something personally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the process of taking things personally isn't a personal process.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really so good to remember.
It is. It is. Yeah. And because we have to be in that open place and we're
yeah.
going to see that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. As I, it's great that I was went at towards the end mm-hmm. because I was seeing ego really getting kind of upset about it.
Uh-huh.
Not upset about it, but wanting attention or something.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And but I was with the conversation that's going on. I was really practicing with these are all my shares.
Yeah.
Or you know,
I
our
could have
shares.
Said every one of those words. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so I was really. Enjoying each one
mm-hmm.
more fully than I have, I think, in the
mm-hmm.
past. Like
mm-hmm.
just really being with it and
mm-hmm.
And still sitting with what was coming up here.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
So it was really
kind of that particular piece of the puzzle.
Yeah,
enjoying all of it and being willing to offer mm-hmm. what's coming up, what's coming through here,
and also letting go of it
uh-huh.
over and over again.
Yes,
as it arose each time.
Yeah,
so that was really cool.
Yeah,
and but this particular piece of karma that. I'm seeing in a lot of places. I'm in one of those insight storms, which is really, really fun.
Mm.
And coming out of a place of not being in an insight storm.
And it often facilitates that, doesn't it?
It does. It, I saw that this morning in the facilitator morning, how that was a really big opportunity.
Yeah.
And not in a sarcastic way.
Yeah, no. That it really, it's like tilling the soil.
Yes.
You know, it's really moving things around.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what's called for. Because often after a time of, you know, there's a lot of presence,
mm-hmm.
and then things tend to go well when we're present.
Yeah.
You know, and life tends to really work and all those
mm-hmm.
things, and then there can be that, ah, okay, kind
mm-hmm.
of settling in process.
Mm-hmm.
And then life just starts to stir it up again, which can feel not great,
mm-hmm.
you know, can feel whatever labels each of us would put on that.
Mm-hmm.
But then often that's stirring things up for those next bunch of insights to show up.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it seems to be true.
Yeah.
And so this, it has to do with rejection,
mm-hmm.
ego getting rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it in a lot of different places of content,
mm-hmm.
including speaking in group.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I saw that here too, like,
uh-huh.
if I don't get called on, it, ego
it's
thinks
rejection.
It's rejection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is if something doesn't go the way I want it to go,
mm-hmm.
it's rejection. if I don't get to control it,
uh-huh.
like big things, like money or travel or
uh-huh.
whatever, big house improvements or home improvements or whatever it is, ego gets really upset about it.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, I don't have any input here.
Yeah.
And I know more about this than you do. And
right.
I should be the one doing it. And what if you mess it up? And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm seeing it in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also seeing it in work, and you know, and if you're offering an opinion or
mm-hmm.
an idea, and if people don't take it up, or,
mm-hmm.
so it's just really, really good to see.
Yeah, yeah, it is good to see. And you said you're having a lot of insights around it. It sounds like.
Well, the insights are that's ego.
Yeah.
That it has.
And that is the insight. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the game changer right there.
It is.
Because it goes from, okay, is a problem, maybe I don't like it, or I, at very least I need to change it, or I shouldn't be this way, or they shouldn't be this way, or what's my problem,
yes.
or I've been practicing this long, or you know, I need to change the circumstances of my life, or
mm-hmm.
all mucking around in the this is me, and this is how I am, and
mm-hmm.
this is what's going on with me, and that critical step, stepping back and realizing,
yeah.
it isn't me.
Yeah.
It's the process that's happening.
Yes, and that process of turning to life
mm-hmm.
instead of that
yeah.
and letting go of it,
yeah.
even though there's nothing in it for ego,
yeah.
that's the hard part.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the part where I don't get the kudos or the attention or the...
Right.
There's nothing in it for ego
right.
to let go of it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's like jumping off the cliff,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, and that's such an exciting point.
It's exhilarating.
Isn't it? It is, because it's this sense of like... You know, when we go back and forth between I believe it's me,
uh-huh.
then it's like, oh my God, I'm giving up everything. What am I doing? I'm giving up everything. You know, even
yeah.
those tiny little threads of hope that I'm going to give what I want and be able to be in control. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to give that up, you know, for
yeah.
what? It's just like we were talking about Foucault.
Yeah.
And then that sense of like, yeah. And then we just take that one for the clip. And it's like, because... the freedom.
Yeah.
That's where yeah. all of life, the being receives what she truly wants.
Yeah, and it's exhilarating when you're in center.
Yeah.
And when you're when you're identified with ego, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, no way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But really over time as we practice more and more, that no, oh God,
mm-hmm.
starts to be a place of hard to describe, but because it can sound like we're just making it up when we say it,
yeah.
right? It's just this Pollyanna. But
well, no, it's a place to know that you're identified and
yeah.
to expose it.
I think
is the biggest,
yeah.
best thing from this morning was
yeah.
to expose it.
Yeah. And to really, really get it. Okay, it might really feel like there's something in this for you, but there is not.
Right.
There is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that's creating that suffering, that's creating that illusion, hates you.
Yeah.
It hates you.
Yes.
It
yes.
does not want anything for you. You know, it will put all the carrots that are particular to you
mm-hmm.
in front of you so that it feels so real.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't care a whit for you.
Right. The other part of it is it's not... this is the hard, for me right now, this is the hard part, where I get stopped, so
mm-hmm.
to speak, like
mm-hmm.
it just sort of freezes me,
mm-hmm.
is it's not disengaging, though.
Right.
You know, letting go is not being involved.
Yes.
And that, because that's the duality, really, so there's
uh-huh.
the, I'm going to control everything
uh-huh.
and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
The other side of it is, okay, you just take care
fine.
Of it.
Fine. You do the house. You renovate
yeah.
the house. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not an I, so it doesn't matter to me. It's what the book was talking about,
yeah.
right? I'm just going to be one with all that is.
And
you can make whatever bad decisions about the house. It doesn't affect me. I'm immune to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even... are we talking about
it's just an I. No.
Oh.
It's just an I on the other side as well.
Exactly. And even not going that far, but so for instance, an idea will come in from another source,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how to answer it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because I think ego's there for, well, I don't know who's there first, I have to look at that maybe,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, it feels like I need to go with what they say
mm-hmm.
from a place of pleasing them.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's another thing that happens. Like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. That doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's this whole process that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an argument for not talking to people too much.
yeah.
But it's the middle way or something going
yeah.
on there. Like where yeah. I want to find that sweet spot of surfing.
Yeah.
You know, where you're
yeah.
you're not. You don't. You know. I'm still confused about it, like,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I see something going on there.
Because
yeah. even this morning there was something that someone said to me that was changing a plan that we already had in place.
Mm-hmm.
And my immediate one is, nope, Mm-hmm. And then my next one is, yes. And then, and then I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the I don't know was what kept coming up for me as you were talking.
Yeah.
It's such a handy place, isn't it? And to add authenticity, you know, we talked about that earlier this morning too, because we're back to Thomas Edison, right, and his 10,000 ways, or the surfing image works mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Of I don't know.
I think, and that's what I said at the end of all that mm-hmm. going on. It's like, I don't know. I need a little time
yeah.
to think about that or something, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
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 So that's the other. So there's another piece of it. It sounds like urgency to make a decision.
Exactly.
And there is then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Urgency to make the right decision
mm-hmm.
and to quote find the middle way,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which of course is ego putting on the practice hat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna find the middle way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
if there are no mistakes and nothing's wrong, then I have that awareness that there is this karma that drives this process. So now I'm just playing with, gosh, I don't really know. I don't really know. I see this about it, I see that about it, I see that about it. And then it comes time to, quote, make a decision. Well, this is the one that feels the most on to me. Let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just keep watching. Which is the piece of staying in the game, you know, not disengaging.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing how ego's coming in with the control thing again.
Yeah, exactly.
On this whole process of making a decision about something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't know. And the other thing I found out about decisions is you can make a decision and then that doesn't know what happened. So the whole conversation is not even necessary. Like you just...
It's so true, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I mean... That's really so true. Yeah.
The whole thought process, the whole conversation, it's yeah. just, so you could just walk around saying, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I think it's such a great example of that is an email inbox. If you don't attend to your email, most things just take care of themselves.
I love that too. That's
you know,
amazing.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And so there's all this urgency, like, oh, there are all these things that need to be attended to. And then maybe someone's not able to be in communication or, you know, you're out of the country or whatever happens that uh-huh. changes the rhythm of the communication, uh-huh. most of it just blows over.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That is very true. Or if, like, I never check my voicemails or it takes a long time before I do. And it just, by the time I do, it's like, oh, it already got
that
done.
Worked itself out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the things that don't rise to the top as the things that need to get taken care of. I love that. For me, the quote to-do list has turned into all it is just a list of three or four reminders of
mm-hmm.
by the end of today, this actually has to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you
yeah.
know, the dog has to be fed, or you know, we got to come up with the topic for whatever, or this mm-hmm. article is due today. Okay, good. Those three things go on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
mm-hmm.
else is. We'll see what life drops in to, you know, which things are the space is made for.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so then it's just navigating, not saying that to the person so they have a, you know, infuriating response to you.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big piece of it, isn't it, is the skillful communication side of the program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is where facilitation comes so in handy.
Yeah.
Because... when we're sitting on the cushion, we're not trying to get our own needs met.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I need. There's nowhere I'm trying to go. There's nothing I'm trying to get. And that's possible for us in every communication in our lives all the time.
Yeah.
Because in fact, there isn't anywhere to go. We don't actually need anything. Our needs are completely taken care of. Life is leading. So we truly could facilitate all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And one more thing it's reminding me of is... My son, this is bringing this up, and when I ask him a question, it doesn't matter what it is, he says yes. So if I say, any new girls you're interested in? Yes.
Are they named Liza?
Yes. Yes. Did you have one at so-and-so? Yes. He just says yes, or even if it's a content question, not a yes or no question, he'll say, you know, he'll say
what
yes.
What do you eat for dinner?
Because yes. He really doesn't want to answer me. But it's kind of helpful, because... Like to everything else, it could just be, yes, Like if someone says, do you want to do this this way? Yes. Because it could turn out a different way.
Yeah, truly. Wasn't there a movie made about that? I heard Jim Carrey, right? Mm-hmm. The Yes Man?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I did either. Actually, I just saw the trailer. But the premise was that. Uh-huh. What would life be if truly everything became along? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Be fascinating to see.
I didn't know he had so much wisdom at his age.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So in the spirit of just putting out there where I'm getting snagged, in the conversation I can see that it's the nine Enneagram type karma that's working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I want to say out loud that it feels silly and absurd and ungrateful.
And ungrateful?
Yes. So the content is Sherry and Ashwini are starting to send me the first sections of the next book, and there's resistance.
Mm.
I don't want to do that.
Mm.
It's quite a lot of work, mm-hmm. And it's just nine inertia.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I haven't been doing that, and I've got
right.
Into that energy.
Yeah, that
and
makes
enjoy
sense.
That.
Oh, no, I have to enjoy that.
So,
well, and is there a sense of like, well, that makes sense? I mean, so if there's a nine, if this person is a nine, and there is that piece of the inertia, and you know, moving from not having done that in quite some time to, I mean, because you know you've done it a number of times, so you have a sense of what that process is, and kind of gearing up. And that's just part of the gearing up.
Yeah. I'm resisting the resistance.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
that's
ego
what's
is.
Happening, isn't it?
Yeah. Ego is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really just that you know, it's not a huge just, but that switch in perspective of, okay, so there's that inertia. You know, ego does its thing. It's just such a ripe opportunity for ego. Of course it's going to do that. Of course it's going to say, I don't want to, and then it's going to come in on top of that, and well, you shouldn't, why are you?
That's what I'm not saying. You shouldn't have that response. You shouldn't have to gear up.
Yeah.
You should be happy and grateful, and
I get to do this.
Well, enormously.
Well, and that's the thing.
And that other thing kind of sneaks in there, and then I have to fight with it, so just quit fighting.
Exactly, because you know darn well that there is that authenticity in there that loves doing that process.
Yeah.
Completely loves it. Loves that you're in the position, loves that you have, you know, we're back to the particular, that in this particular human, there is that gift to offer, that's what's offered through this person for practice. I mean, it's a huge thing, and you know that's in there. Yeah, the resistance, the inertia, that's in there too. So what?
Yeah.
And even just supporting that, okay, all right, here's the inertia piece of the program. What would be the kindest thing? Not the get her started
kindest
thing.
No, I thought of that.
Yeah. And we don't. We
okay.
don't.
Okay.
You know? Because that's that behavior change piece of it. You know, so the usual thing would be, and I don't know what it would be for you, but if I were to project, like, come on, let's get going, let's get on top of it, let's get those wheels moving. But what, knowing that, yeah, that's familiar, we see that process, it is going to happen, no wonder, all those things, what would be the kindest way to support her, knowing, completely trusting, it's not like she's not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
No.
You know? It's just not, it's not going to go that way. Okay, so how can we support her in the process of transitioning into that?
Thank you. Just, you know, six or seven things just dropped in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you all.